Texas. We want to continue that story. Zacharias Morrell, and as we mentioned last year, he was born in January 17th, 1803 in South Carolina, and before he was 20, he began preaching, and was quite the personality, quite the character, but just a tremendous man of God, and really a great pioneer as these men moved westward with the gospel. And as I said, much last week, much has been talked about pioneers and the men who won the West. It was these terrible hardships, these dangers that they went through. There was no one to look for, and I want to say all this again because I'll tell another story this morning. But you know, that was a day when there was no one to look to except for God, and truly there was no one to look to. And you know, we think, and I hope I'm not repeating myself too much, but I think about, you know, the nice cars we rode to church in, and the heated building we have, and we will leave the service and go our way, and we don't fear for our lives as we walk back to our cars. And yet, this is what these people faced every day, and the strength and courage and faith that they had to face that. But as I talked about, he was, as a young man, very impulsive, very... what we would say would be like a fiery temper, and yet God saved him, and what God did with that surrendered life is just thrilling to consider as we look at it. I also mentioned that Zechariah Morrell was disabled. He had bleeding of the lungs, just terrible disease, a lung hemorrhaging all his life. And the doctor said he had to quit preaching or he would die, and they told him to move south. He did move south. He moved to Mississippi, the territory of Mississippi at that time. This is, I want to say, about 1835 or so. And but he wouldn't quit preaching. In fact, at that time, he established three churches in Mississippi. And then God, he knew that God was calling him west of Mississippi and what would be into Texas, the territory of Texas. And this is probably the worst possible time to go to Texas. I don't know what's called the Texas Revolution is beginning at this point. Texas will basically be at war with Mexico, in and out of war with Mexico for the next 20 years, and not a good time. This is the time of the Alamo and this kind of thing. So this was not a good time to be maybe non-Mexican in Texas. And yet he knew that he wanted to go. He was afraid of that. He was afraid that the it was primarily a Catholic nation, Mexico, and he thought it would be very, very difficult, so he prayed about it, but God was leading him there, and he brought his family into that danger. I can't help but think, as I read about this man, all the excuses that I would have for not doing, you know, what he did. My you know, the bleeding in my lungs, I'm done. You know, I'm not going to do all that, you know. The entrenched Catholicism, the real danger of bringing my family into this war-torn country, just it literally is the Wild West. This is as wild as it gets in Mexico at this time. And so Baptists in Texas are fully aware of the debt they owe to Zacharias Morrell. I'll read a couple of historians where they said he has the distinction of being the most daring, uncompromising, and aggressive of the pioneer Baptist preachers of Texas, wrote B.F. Riley. Another historian, Carroll, said that to his credit is due as much or more to any other man the right beginnings and right foundations of organized Baptist work in Texas. Another historian said his name is perhaps the best known and most cherished of any among the Texas Baptist fathers. I have to find my way here in my notes, but one of the accounts that I wanted to read tonight, I hope we can envision this and imagine what he went through here and his people, but one Sunday night in 1842, he was preaching at his church in Gonzales, Texas. They were meeting in a schoolhouse, and the neighboring Indian tribes were in an ugly mood, and they had recently killed many people in the surrounding community. And as Pastor Morrell preached, men stood outside in the dark with guns. Several men sat across the back of the place where they were meeting with guns across their laps. And it's said that this story, as they tell the story, the preacher spoke with power. The attention was intense. The invitation was wonderful. And there were earnest prayers to God for protection. This was a real danger. Their friends had been killed in the last few days. The congregation was dismissed, and before the people had gotten their teams hitched up, they heard numerous gunshot right in the woods right behind the school. They also heard, more terribly, the shrill cry of the Indians, and they were ready for battle, and they knew that those people were headed out home. The people proceeded in small groups. There was a pretty good-sized crowd, probably about the size of this class, and they proceeded out. They hitched up their oxen, their horses, and they just slowly, quietly, in small groups of three or four families, headed home. They all lived basically in the same direction. Pastor Morrell led the silent procession in his ox cart, and he had his family and two other families in his cart. And then, as I said, other families followed in smaller groups. They thought it would be better not to go in one group. The silence, they said, was just deafening. It was oppressive. It was broken only by the crunching wheels and the tugging beast, the groaning of the oxen. And someone suggested that a psalm be sung to drive away the gloom. And, of course, you know, they knew that they very possibly could be killed any moment. Think of that. You know, we don't have that danger. Just think of that terror and they knew they could be killed any moment. But someone said, you know what, we should sing. If it be God's will that we die, it would be good to sing as we go to heaven. And they suggested this old song, which must have touched even the hearts of the savage Indians. It said, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. O sacred hope, O blissful hope, by inspiration given, the hope when days and years are past, we all shall meet in heaven." And this veteran pastor said years later, "I then thought, and I still think, that amid the psalmist of that hour, I heard music which was sweeter to my soul than any other which I ever fell in my ears. It was the sweetest music this side of heaven." And really just kind of a wonderful story. The Indians did not attack. God protect them. Everyone made it home safely. Just a couple stories from his life that really stand out to me as I read about him. And his style of ministry fit the rugged atmosphere of the Old West very well. As I said last week, it's estimated in 1835 when he hit Texas that there were about 50 Baptists of all varieties in the state. When he died at age 80 in 1883, there were more than 80,000 Baptists in Texas. And historians say primarily because of his ministry and his influence in that area. And again, as we consider the hardships and the real problems that these people had, I think it encourages us and grows my faith to read what these men did and these families did. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for these people and Zechariah Morrell as we tell his story.